You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Welcome to the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks, the National Campus and Community Radio Association networks throughout British Columbia and throughout Canada. We're also joined by two regular stations, CITR 101.9 FM, and of course it's streaming online at CITR.ca. That's our full hour show. On our Friday show is on our flagship station, Co-op Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM. That's our half-hour show from Fridays from 2 to 2.30 p.m. We're gonna try and bring in Paul Gilbert on. So hopefully Michael and will be calling us, or either one of us will give us a call, and we'll talk about some issues on the BC politics issue. Right now, I'm going to play you some Autism Live. That was an episode from yesterday. And hopefully I haven't set it up yet. As you can tell, I'm clicking on the computer here. Live. So one of the episodes will be from yesterday. So So that is one on the episode of January 18th, which was yesterday. So enjoy for your pleasure, and we will be right back in just a moment.
Let's Talk Autism with Shannon and Nancy. I'm Nancy Allspaw-Jackson.
And I'm Shannon Penrod. I'm thrilled to be
nice
here with
to
you.
Nice to be here with you. And the orange hair is, it's growing on everybody.
I don't know why. It looks like I've been hit in the head with a tomato. But for anybody who isn't watching, this is a message. 2% of the population is on the autism spectrum, so we dyed 2% of my hair orange as a message to President-elect Trump, because we do not yet have an autism plan from this administration. We're asking for one, and so I wanted to call attention to 2% is
how
much
big
bigger
is.
Than you think, yeah, it is. It has a huge impact, 2%. You can't ignore it. I'm going to be keeping this until we get an autism plan or until it grows out,
right.
One or the other.
Right.
And the day that we get an autism plan, because I'm going to be positive assumptive that we are going to get an autism plan on the day that we get it, and there's a piece of paper and it says the autism plan or something like that, I will take a pair of scissors and hack the orange out in front of all of you.
Have you tried tweeting him, since he's such a big Twitter freak?
I have not. I will admit that I have not tried tweeting.
Yeah, I think you should
tweet
him.
What we should do is tweet we may have tweeted at him the video that we did
okay.
to him.
You
I'll
should
check
tweet
on
the video.
We should
because
tweet that
he seems
to him.
Like, you know, since he loves social media so much and Twitter so much, that might get his attention.
It might. And in fact, for the start of the show, we have a bunch of in the news for you, but we wanted to get started because we have a guest and we're running a little bit late because I ran over with Dr. Grampuche. But we wanted to first address some things that happened yesterday, because as you know, there were Senate confirmation hearings, and a lot of them are happening at the same time. But yesterday, Betsy DeVos was being questioned.
Yes. She is Trump's nominee for head of education.
Yes.
Everybody should know
and,
that.
And it was very interesting. I got to see bits and dribs and drabs like a lot of you. I did not get to sit and watch it end to end.
And
but
she
I
is a billionaire.
DeVos. Yes, you and
a
I were talking about that, about what must that be like.
A billionaire.
And I never want it to be that we hold it against somebody.
No.
If they have money or if their family had money or whatever
that is. If people have money and they use it for the public good,
hey,
that's fantastic. You know, that's
absolutely
wonderful.
But there were some troubling things that came up
during
in
the
this hearing.
Hearing.
And I want to say this, that in watching the hearings, I think it's a really uncomfortable process. You know, you're grilled and, you know, you're sitting there and you're, and it's, you know, people trying to get you to say something or to trap you to say something. It's not something that I would want to sign up to do.
It doesn't look comfortable at all.
But then things get said and then people, you know, talk about it and it becomes a big deal. But my whole thing as we talk about this is that I firmly believe that there's two types of ignorance. And what, like, none of us can know everything.
Right.
How could you possibly know everything? I can't know everything. I don't expect anybody to know everything.
Of course not.
So there's, we're all ignorant to some things, right? So there's ignorance just by nature. And then there's ignorance by choice. Mm-hmm. And ignorance by choice is the one that I have a much harder time with. Because if I have the ability to find something out and I am expected to know it and I choose not to, then that is ignorance by choice. And please, before anybody says, you know, I'm throwing rocks, there are times when I have chosen to be ignorant by choice. You know, I think we all do. But if you are trying to be confirmed for a cabinet position in 2017, I think that choosing to be ignorant about the subject that you're supposed to know about, probably not the best choice.
So in this case, the subject being?
Betsy DeVos, yesterday, when asked certain things,
about
showed some ignorance.
Yes, she was grilled by Tim Kaine, who was the vice presidential nominee, as everybody knows.
Yes.
And rapid-fire questioning, and he was very polite with her. I watched the clip.
Yeah.
She did seem to demonstrate a startling lack of knowledge of the biggest major federal civil rights law of those with disabilities. She did not seem to understand that it is federally mandated.
Yes. And so we're talking about IDEA, I-D-E-A.
Yes.
And, you know, Tim Kaine was asking her questions about, you know, did she think that it should be in public schools, private schools? And there was an answer that she gave for a lot of things.
She'd left up to the states. She'd left up to the states.
She kept saying. It was sort of her,
You know. She was never, they kept saying, is this a yes or a no? She would never say yes or no.
Yeah.
He would say, so are you saying that so some states might be good to kids with disabilities and other states might not be so good, and then what? People can just move around the country if their kid don't like how their kids are being treated? And to that question, she said it should be left up to the states. He said, I'd like to get a yes or a no from you. You're not under oath. I mean, you're not in it's not a court of law.
Right.
But you are trying to get our votes, my vote, and I want a yes or a no. It should be left up to the states. It should be left up to the states. So Senator Maggie Hassan, who's a Democrat from New Hampshire, who has a son with a disability. I wonder if he has autism. I'm curious.
I don't know.
Yeah. Be interesting to see and maybe get her as a guest on this show. She challenged DeVos to explain whether she understood that the law was a federal civil rights law. She was very pointed in, you do understand that IDEA is a federal civil rights law. And DeVos said she may have confused it.
Yeah. And here's my thing about that is that we can go, okay, well, she got confused. But because she is a billionaire and because it's been weeks since she was announced as the person,
as his choice.
She had time to prepare for this. She could have afforded to pay anyone to get her prepared.
To brief her.
And when we look at this, an 11.1% of our students here in the 11th, so this is 2%, y'all.
Right, you can imagine what that hair would look like with 11.
Are considered special,
we're talking almost the whole front half
right,
of your head.
Right, are considered special education, and there are 9 million IEPs in the United States. I really have trouble with the fact that she was not prepared on that question.
I agree.
That, to me, suggests ignorance by choice, or she honestly didn't know that there are that many people that use this particular law with 11.1%. But even that, I'm like, if you know that you're preparing, wouldn't you take the time to find out?
You would think.
So whoever prepared her should be fired. And I don't know. It reminded me of so many things that I was like, that's not a good sign.
Right. No. No.
Not
so
a good sign.
So we'll have to see.
And I was also disturbed by the fact that she would not say that she would not defund public schools. She declined to say that.
Right.
That was disturbing to me. Right. There were other things that she, when she, for those of you who are interested in watching, Google when Al Franken was asking her questions,
yeah.
and she couldn't, he tried several times to get her to see the difference between growth and proficiency, and she wasn't getting it. And if anybody, any of you former teachers, not understanding the difference between growth and proficiency is huge.
Yeah.
Huge yeah. lack of preparation.
Right.
Disturbing.
Okay, so on that, I believe we're going to take a break.
We are going to take a break, and then we're going to bring our very special guest. Sean yeah. Sullivan is here with us.
And he's a young man on the spectrum that
yes.
has some interesting life experiences to share
yes.
about his challenges with living with autism and overcoming many, many, many obstacles.
Including bullying.
And talk about bullying.
We're about five to ten more minutes till we get Paul Gilbert onto the show, but we're going to play you the Let's Talk Autism on January 18th. So even though they're taking a break, we will take a break in about another 10 minutes or so.
Talk, it means I am not alone in this.
This is the reality for families affected by autism. And today, the number of children with autism is growing more rapidly than ever. Talker unites these families, ensures that they do not have to fight this battle alone.
Our oldest son, Jared, who has autism, when we first took him to the doctor to get the diagnosis, you know, it's so sad because they offer you nothing. There's no help. There's no hope.
One of the things that you learn with autism is being very grateful for even the small milestones. You know, when you first get the diagnosis, you go through all the range of emotions. You know, this can't be happening. Why is this happening? You have to get to a point where it's the emotion that has to be leading is, what can I do? The first thing that struck me was walking to a room and seeing, oh my gosh, we're not alone. And there is this very strong community that's already set. And something I still today associate with TACA the most is hope. To me, that's what TACA means. TACA means hope.
It's like you've got all these dreams and goals of what your son's gonna do, and you get your diagnosis and you're sent home. And that's it. There's no plan of action. There's no, here's autism, here's what we're gonna do to make your life better and help him. It's strictly go home and try to process it and go on the internet. It was devastating. And you just, you know, you go through this 3 week of depression and then you snap out of it. You have to. And then you start making phone calls and trying to figure out what is autism and what are we gonna do. And then we found TACA, and it was life-changing.
Autism, there really is no definitive answer. It is trying to find the resources that are out there that can assist you to help your child so that, you know, you just don't feel so helpless at those particular moments.
There was direction, and there was hope, and there was a little ray of sunshine that he's gonna be okay, and we're gonna be okay. I always look back and think we would never be where we are. Carson wouldn't be where he is at without TACA.
So 13 years ago, my son was diagnosed with autism, and that put our whole family into a tailspin. There were so many different ideas and things that were not proven. Nobody knew what guidance to give us. We had no direction. And then we found TACA. They helped give us a path to follow, help give our son a better future and make him healthy and put him back onto the road of recovery. When your son's first diagnosed, the first thing you hope for is, gosh, I just want my son to speak. I just want to be able to communicate with him in some way. Then you want a little more. You want him to go to a regular school. Then you want him to potentially have a real life and go to college. So you're always hoping for the future of your child. My son is a happy, healthy, vibrant young boy that's going to turn 15 really soon, and we couldn't be more pleased. And without TACA, I don't think we'd be in the place that we are today. We believe the future is not defined for many affected by autism. There is hope and direction for these kids and their families. TACA is dedicated to providing community, support, education, and hope to families affected by autism.
At TACA.
At TACA.
At TACA.
We are families with autism helping.
Helping.
Helping. Helping families.
Helping families with autism.
Hi, my name is Matt. I am 19 years old and I was diagnosed with autism when I was 6 years old. Autism is one of the fastest growing developmental disabilities in the United States, but I am living proof that with the right treatment, hope is possible. My future is not limited. Today, I am attending Fullerton Community College, and I run for the cross country team for fun with my friends. It makes me feel proud when I think about my progress. Chances are you know someone affected by autism. Show them they are not alone and help others get on the road to recovery. Contribute to Talk About Curing Autism today.
Welcome everybody to our 5K, 10K run and family festival.
So the Act Today for Military Families Run and Festival is a race that benefits military children with autism. So we help a lot of the families around the country whose parents serve in the military.
I'm an autism mom, but also a military wife, and I'm so excited to be here at ACT Today's 6th annual run. I've never missed one. It's something that really helps this situation. It's fabulous because there's no other organization like it.
San Diego has some of the highest concentration of military in the country, if not the world, and a lot of my friends are military and are affected by autism disorder. And so for me to do some little thing to the people that protect our freedoms is important.
It's hard enough to parent a kiddo with autism. Can you imagine parenting a child when you move on average every 2 years, you have a parent member deployed or in training? Our kids don't like change. These kids are subject to constant change.
My name's Tom Leahy. I am president of One Hope Wine. We are the title sponsor of the 6th annual Act Today Family Festival. We have been the title sponsor every single year, which we're very proud of. We've worked with ACT Today for 9 years, which we are also very proud of.
My name is Megan Martin. I'm a licensed and certified genetic counselor at Lineagen, and we provide genetic testing. Lineagen are strong supporters of all families with autism, but particularly families in the military.
Jared Connor. I am in the United States Navy, stationed here at Navy Information Operations Command, San Diego. I am a first-class petty officer, and been here for 3 years so far. This event is important to me. Growing up in a family, my baby sister has Down syndrome, and just living through that, and being 17 years older than she is, understand the importance of family, understand the importance of how everybody is important to what we do here, not only in our country, but what we do throughout the world.
Red bibs are the 10K. Here comes some more finishers.
And we are back, and I want to say that the next run is on April 15th.
Yes.
And we want people to go on our Act Today website to register.
Yes. Okay. And everyone can run, even if it's virtually.
Yes.
So make sure that
right,
you do that.
Right. So now we are back with our guest, Sean Sullivan. Hi, Sean. Good to have you.
All right, we're going to come right back in a moment. You're listening to the Community Living Show on the NCI Radio Networks. My name's Kelly, and hopefully we will be back in just a few minutes with our guests. Stay tuned. The Global Accessibility Awareness Day is on the third Thursday of May of every year. The community and campus stations across Canada are hosting inclusive radio about accessibility, self-advocacy, adapted technology, and more. Contact your local stations to find out more.
After 9 weeks of live performances, Shindig, CATR's annual Battle of the Bands, is moving into semifinals. Come out to Shindig January 10th to see Devours, Mark Mills, and Prison Hair, the 17th to see Carousel Scene, Jerk in the Can, and Pavel, and the 24th to see Jock Tears, Tiny Sprout, and Mirepoix. The semifinals are every Tuesday of January at Pat's Pub. As always, there will be an opportunity to win beverages for jokes or fun facts. Shindig is sponsored by AMS Events, Backline Musician Services, Canadian Music Week, Discorder Magazine, Fader Master Studios, Rain City Recorders, Mint Records, Music Waste Festival, Nimbus Recording, Thunderbird Radio Hell, Six Cent Press, Silver Fox Postering, Band Merch Canada, Blue Light Studios, Zulu Records, Four Winds Brewery, Fernie Brewing, and Print Print. All three shows will be amazing, and you'll want to be there to see which of these three local artists will move into the final round.
To understand more about fashion, we asked CITR student executive and fashion expert Jonathan Q what fashion means to him.
Like, it's just aesthetically something that's so ostentatious. Typically. I mean, because of course, I mean, it's also, you know, I mean, when you say fashion, I think people are talking explicitly about consumerism as opposed to someone who buys, like, you know, let's say, you know, someone buys
If you really want to know more about fashion, come on down to CITR in the Student Union Building of UBC and pick up some of our merchandise à la mode. Nous avons t-shirts, sweatshirts, socks, and coffee mugs.
But it's also very aesthetically gripping.
To keep you styling in support of the station you love. Isn't that right, Jonathan?
Well, actually, is it? Because, I mean, you know, I was going to say because of the cultural vacuum that we exist within, but then, you know, really, fashion today is kind of derived from the European idea of couture, and that's been around for centuries.
This is the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks. My name's Kelly Rayburn. We're going to go back to the Let's Talk Autism until we have Michael here and all that sort of stuff. So the Autism Live is the Center for Autism-Related Disorders, known as CARD. For more information, go to centerforautism.com. If you want to receive their Autism Live free newsletter, go to www.autism-live.com.
Wonderful to be on.
Well, it's great to have you here. Now, Sean, you are a motivational speaker and a child mentor for individuals with autism, and you are on the autism spectrum.
That's correct.
Right. So tell us about what kind of motivational speaking and how you are a child mentor.
Absolutely. So to start off this conversation, I think it's important to mention that I refuse to let my disability, autism, to define and control me. I control and define my disability. I control and define my life. And with that said, that's the mentality that I have, and that's what I tell potential organizations that want to have me speak, and that's But I usually, that's usually my sales pitch.
Okay.
I love it. It's a good sales pitch.
You know what they call that? I think I've heard it called an elevator speech, right?
Yeah.
That when you're in the elevator, if you can tell somebody who you are and what you do. So you refuse to let your disability define you. You define it, which is, those are very inspirational words. So obviously when you do speaking, you are there to inspire.
Correct, yeah.
Okay. And this is based on your experience growing up with autism.
Yes.
And in fact, you've been quoted as saying that autism is your superpower.
Yes, that's absolutely
right. How do you mean that?
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
I mean that everyone who has autism, for the most part, is marginalized and not given a fair shake. And so I like to think of my autism as a strength, and I use my autism to its fullest advantage. Mm-hmm. And I believe that I have 30 years of experience with autism because I have it. I believe that it's only when we experience things ourselves that we can truly understand and comprehend what your experience actually is.
Absolutely. As parents, I think we always, you know, we want to know what the experience is of being on the autism spectrum. We're deeply, deeply curious. I don't know a single autism parent that hasn't said or felt at least once, you know, I want to get inside my kid's head. I want to understand.
The
truth of the matter is that we're never going to fully understand it. And that's why it's so important to hear from people like you and to have our kids hear from people like you who are on the spectrum and who are speaking positively about being on the spectrum. And you, in particular, one of the things that you talk about is bullying.
Yes.
You are somebody who experienced bullying and have lived to tell the tale and have some words and thoughts to say to younger kids about how to get through it. What kinds of things do you talk about with kids who are experiencing bullying?
Well, for starters, I talk about not trying not to take it personally. I know that's easier said than done. Another thing that I try to say is the grass is green wherever you water it. Mm-hmm. And what that means in simple terms is that you can either be unhappy and want to be someone else, or you can make do with what you have and try your best to not let the situation you're in defeat you. I like to think about it as never give up, never give in, and never surrender to difficult situations. Instead, make the difficult situations give up, give in, and surrender to you.
How did you get that attitude, though? Because there are a lot of people that are watching the show and hearing about your accomplishments and seeing what an articulate, inspirational young man you are. How did you develop that attitude? Was it something your parents developed in you, or you developed on your own?
It comes internally.
Okay. Inside. And at what point in your life did you start seeing, because I know that you have said that with a lot of hellish hard work, sacrifice and dedication, you were able to go from being low functioning. I mean, we should say that you yourself say you were low functioning, having tantrums, not being understood, had a hard time making friends. Now you have your own website. You've been a panelist, an autism self-advocate at big disability conferences. You recently won a beautiful, beautiful trophy, a self-advocate award from the Regional Center of Orange County. How did this develop? How did you turn the corner, Sean?
I just got sick and tired of being helpless. I got sick and tired of being unhappy. And I, I waited until New Year's to make a resolution.
Okay.
And
was this at a certain age, or?
It was about when I was 16 to 18.
Okay.
And I just decided this can't go on. Okay. I must make a change, and so that's exactly what I did.
Okay, so you really just, this was something that happened to you internally. You made a decision emotionally and mentally that you were going to not be a victim anymore.
Correct, yeah.
Okay. It's a very powerful message, and a message that you bring to people when you're speaking and when you're mentoring. If people are interested in having you come in to speak to their group or to mentor someone in their group, how do they get a hold of you, Sean, so that they can find out more information?
Absolutely. So I'm fortunate enough to have a website.
Mm-hmm.
And so my website URL is iknowautism.org.
A great, great website.
Yeah.
iknowautism.org.
And we're going to take a break and come back with your father.
And talk some more with you, this amazing, inspirational gentleman. Really thrilling to have you here, Sean. All right. We're going to take a break, and we're going to be back right after these messages.
We're going to continue on with the Autism Live, so stay with us. Okay, Paul? I don't know where he is. I have a great difficulty of, he's supposed to come right on schedule, but obviously it's the commute that is the problem.
Nick recovered from autism in 2001.
Yeah, he just passed Dunbar, and I don't even know if he's still around or not. Sorry about that, folks. We were on the air, so just hang on for a moment. I am talking to Paul, so just hang on a moment here.
Age two. He's been receiving therapy from CARD for a year and a half. Today, Cheryl, Mike, and Nick meet for the first time.
I'm curious as to what you remember.
I certainly remember pretty long sessions. And I'd be frustrated if I would make mistakes. I mean, I remember one time I had to count a row of six blocks, kept messing up. That was really difficult.
I need it.
At what point do you recall hearing the word autism?
I was able to figure out what I was going through without anybody having to tell me.
Our concern is if it's a big secret to hide. I don't know what we can say.
No one ever told you, you just discerned.
But the reason I'm comfortable talking about this is because I felt it. In therapy, I certainly began questioning why people reacted as they did based on what I said and did. Particularly because of difficulties I was facing in school. It got to a point where I wanted to understand why.
All right, so you are tuning into the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Network stations. We were trying to get Paul on to our show. Unfortunately, we'll reschedule it for another time when Michael is around. So we wanted to try and get everybody into the the conversation. So so we're going to continue on playing with Let's Talk Autism as of yesterday, part of the Autism Live. Again, if you want to check out more information about their programs, go to centerforautism.com or sign up for Autism Live's free newsletter at autism-live.com. My apologies for the on-air booth. I was talking to Paul just a moment ago. So my apologies.
Has made a difference. It's just really improved my social life tremendously because I got to be me, because with nobody knowing about my past, I wasn't faced with these misconceptions and prejudgments.
Do you tell people, new people that you meet?
No, that's not the first thing I will ever
tell. No, I would hope it's not the first thing.
And you know what? In most cases, I never do, because while it's a part of my past, it doesn't define who I am. I mean, just thinking back to the very beginning, pretty much each episode, autism, what, not who.
I want to tell you right now, though, I'm so impressed with you.
Likewise.
I want you to know that.
Likewise. I mean, your son really inspires me just as much, because... I'll tell you anytime.
I adore him, but I'd be lying if I said it wasn't challenging.
I mean,
it's cost me my the stuff that you know, like career things, mm-hmm. goals. I don't care about those anymore. Mm-hmm. I work at night. I'm tending bar. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm too good for that. I'm just saying that's what I do. Mm-hmm. I want him to have a chance.
Right.
And you inspire me now.
Thank you. The feeling goes both ways. The feeling's mutual.
Before you leave today, we would like you to meet Jack.
I would love to.
This is Nick.
Hi, Nick.
Hey, Jack Riley.
All right, should we try this? I'm going to try to take a picture of all of you. One, two, and three.
And we are here now. If you missed the last segment, we were talking with Sean Sullivan, who is an autism advocate, public speaker, and child mentor. And Sean, you're very inspirational.
Thank you.
Yeah, and we asked that your father come on, because we have this series, Autism Family Portraits, where we look at families and kind of see where they've come from and where they're going when they have a family member with autism. So your dad, Craig, has graciously agreed to join us. And Craig, we're here now with Sean at age 30, but yeah. The last 30 years have been a long road.
Well, you see the white hair.
I see the white hair, but it's looking good on you. You wear
it
well.
Thank you.
Okay, I think we're having a mic issue. Yes, we are. I've got it now.
Well, they're all reading
Thank
your
you.
Lips, I hope.
Okay. I'm going to actually redo the intro.
Okay.
I'm sitting here with Craig Sullivan, who is Sean's dad. And as I said, we talked to Sean in the last segment, and we're going to find out now the role of the family. We do a series called Autism Family Portraits, and Craig, tell us, Sean was diagnosed with severe autism.
He was.
At what age?
I think it was around 2 or 3.
Okay.
We had him into a hospital for 2 weeks to find out why he couldn't eat anything and why he didn't appear to be developing in the way we had expected, and that's when he first had the diagnosis of autism.
When you think back, Sean, to when you were very young, like before you went to kindergarten, and what is your memory of those years?
I felt like I was on another planet. I didn't belong. I couldn't make any friends, and I did not know why. And finally, I discovered that I had a disability.
Okay, so he was diagnosed by the school district? Or
well, actually, his mother and I brought him in to get checked out privately.
Right.
And later, the school district affirmed that diagnosis.
Okay.
And he was in the special needs program throughout his...
throughout his school career.
Throughout his school career.
Okay.
But he ended up with a high school diploma and is taking some college courses and is now entered into a career as an advocate for autism.
And so how did all that come about? What are some of the things that the family did? You told me it takes a village, number one.
It does. It takes a lot of people who love and care for him. It all started, I think, with his grandmother as our leader, who loved everyone and would forgive everyone and
would
always tolerate everyone and always look for the good. And I think Sean inherited that more than any of the rest of us.
I had a grandmother like that, too.
Yeah,
it's nice to think of those qualities.
That she lives on in him.
Right.
I think the turning point was somewhere in his teens where we discovered... Sean wasn't an autistic person. Sean was a person with autism. if you understand my point.
I do.
The difference between those two perceptions are, I think, the beginning of his understanding that he could actually use this as a tool. You know, the expression of one door closes, another opens.
Right.
When he finally realized that this wasn't necessarily a disability, it was just an other ability,
right,
one that he could perhaps take and use as a tool, mm-hmm, for strength rather than weakness, it turned him around completely.
Were there any particular learning techniques or interventions or any therapies that you found to be most useful?
Well, we've been through them all.
You have.
Any parent listening to this understands that point.
We've, right,
been through all of the therapies, all the medicines, and we've had successes and failures, and we've had successes that turn into failures.
Right.
Nothing worked forever, and we were always looking for the next level of intervention and therapy. There wasn't any one thing, Nancy. I think at the end of the day, I would counsel any parent to remember that you just never give up. Never, ever give up, and keep trying. And if it doesn't work today, get up tomorrow and try again.
So did you think, ever think one day you'd be seeing your son living on his own?
Never.
Never.
Never. No. I mean,
not only living on his own.
The fact that he can live on his own, that he has a website, that he's a published author, that he's won consumer advocacy awards,
right,
that he was on a podium with Temple Grandin, I mean, I would never have imagined any of that. You know.
What was that like for you, Sean, being on a podium with Dr. Grandin?
It was spectacular. For 50 years from now, I will not forget it.
Dr. Grandin is a big friend of this program's. Shannon was just at NASA with Dr. Grandin.
Wow.
Where she gave a speech and they got a tour of NASA and, yeah, were with all the scientists and astronauts down there.
Yeah.
Amazing woman, and she is also one that says never ever give up.
That's it. And as she inspired Sean, someday Sean will inspire others.
Yes,
and someday is today.
I can imagine that she was inspirational to you. Do you hope to be inspirational to others the way she is to you?
I hope to. I will make sure that I realize that dream.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. Well, we want to thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
It's been just a pleasure to have you,
pleasure.
Sean.
Thank you.
Pleasure to have you.
Thank you.
And what are your goals now, Sean? You've been winning awards. You've been speaking. What would you like to see yourself doing over the next, you know, couple of decades?
So one of my goals is to start a disability dating and socialization website.
A disability dating and socialization website. That's that's a good idea.
Useful.
Because there are a lot of people out there, yeah, on the spectrum that, yeah, want to meet people, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to keep that. We're going to keep watching for it. If you start it, will you come back and talk to us about it?
Whatever you say.
Okay. We're going to have you back when you get that up and running, because I have no doubt you will.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Mm-hmm,
and we're going to take a break, and Shannon and I will be right back with more of Let's Talk Autism with Shannon and Nancy. Thank you.
All right. So you are listening to Let's Talk Autism as of yesterday on Autism Live, autismlive.com, autism-live.com. If you want to give the free newsletter, you can. And they're also part of the Center for Autism. Excuse me. The website is centerforautism.com. That's their website. We're going to take a break. Michael is here already.
Finally made it.
So what we're going to do for tomorrow's show on Co-op Radio Station, that where we are going to do the half-hour show tomorrow.
Yes.
On Interview with Paul. And we're thinking maybe do the half-hour show on our Thursday, yeah, edition.
We'll see if that's okay with Paul. I'm going to give him a call mm-hmm, as soon as we get off the air here.
Yeah.
And I'll see if I can get him on tomorrow at 2.
Yeah, so tomorrow at 2 o'clock edition on the Community Living Show. And then, mm-hmm, hopefully we will have this show next week, Thursday, for our half-hour part of the show. So,
right,
doing something a little different. All,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can to make sure we get everything taken care of, right?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Anyways, you're tuned in to Community Living Show. I'm Kelly. This is Michael. We will be right back.
Listen, radio is an important means of communicating 3,000 years of habit in terms of diapering of babies.
Well, please tell me more.
Because radio reaches people, including those hard-to-get young people. Radio goes where they go and talks their language, recognizing the importance of contemporary sound.
And the sounds are instantly recognizable as belonging to the in-groups currently on top of the charts.
CITR, 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
It's wild.
The Global Accessibility Awareness Day is on the third Thursday of May of every year. The community and campus stations across Canada are hosting inclusive radio about accessibility, self-advocacy, adapted technology, and more. Contact your local stations to find out more.
Become a CITR member and make some new friends.
Members get discounts in Kitsilano and around UBC at The Book Warehouse, Stormcrow Ale House, The Australian Boot Company, Fresh's Best Salsa & Company, Banyan Books & Sound, Tapestry Music Limited, Rufus Guitar Shop, Dentry's Irish Grill, the UBC Bookstore, On the French Hair Design, and the Bike Kitchen.
What would we do without our friends?
At Dunkin' Donuts, each and every
radio show
is brewed fresh and served fresh at the peak of its flavor. If you're a tough customer, only the taste of this
radio show
will do. So go ahead, let Dunkin' Donuts make your
radio experience
exquisite.
Indeed.
Dunkin' Donuts, serving sweet treats from the Pop Underground. Thursdays, noon to 1.
This is the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks. That is the National Campus and Community Radio Association networks across British Columbia and across Canada. We are on both stations, Co-op Radio CFRO 100.5 FM, and of course, we're on CITR 101.9 FM. Michael and I are here. How are you doing, Michael?
I'm doing pretty okay. You know.
So, yeah. So we're going to do our tomorrow show, the Friday show on Co-op Radio, and do our half-hour show. And then hopefully we will rebroadcast that show to CITR.
Yeah.
So bit of change there. So we hopefully, if we get chance to hear from Paul Gilbert when we get a chance to do it.
He seems to be quite the activist and advocate, so I think he's...
Mm-hmm.
Be a really good person to have on. So
yeah, and he's also on the BC. I don't know if he's the administrator of the BC disability issues. The BC, what is it called? BC.
The BC Disability Caucus.
Caucus. Yeah, I don't know if he's the administrator or not, but you can always check him out on Facebook page, BC Disability Caucus. Website for it. So, of course, we will talk mostly on politics for that matter tomorrow. So, look forward to that. So, anyways, we're going to continue on with Let's Talk Autism for another 10 minutes or so, and then we'll wrap things up. All right. Okay. We'll be back.
What is autism?
I've been asking myself that for a very, very long time.
Let me think about that one.
Trying to,
Jeez, let me think. Oh man, that's a rough one. Yes.
Autism
is a neurological disorder that affects many of our kids in different ways.
It's a learning disability that affects the cognitive functions of the brain.
A lot of people have the misconception that it's a disability, and it's really not.
I look at it as like a special gift.
When one person thinks differently from another.
It's an opportunity for everyone to learn to understand someone that's a little different than them.
Autism is the ability to educate.
They're given so much talent in different areas.
To me, autism means a chance to be with and be around people you really care about. Autism is beautiful.
It's
It's a way of seeing the world differently.
It's always unique, totally intelligent, and sometimes mysterious.
Happiness that comes out of my son's hard work.
It's a movement.
Unpredictable.
Abstract.
Awesome.
Love.
The field I want to work in.
Laughter. Fun. Joy.
Autism is beautiful to me.
I want you to remember these three words. There is hope.
I'm Shannon Penrod from Autism Live.
And I'm Nancy Allspaw Jackson from ACT Today.
And together, we co-host Let's Talk Autism with Shannon and Nancy.
And I'd like to thank Emily Goodwin for challenging us to the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge.
Yes, we're thrilled to be able to show how the autism community supports the ALS community.
So we're going to ask some autism activists to take the challenge on as well. Dr. Doreen Grampuchet, the founder of CARD and ACT Today.
Matt Asner from Autism Speaks.
Lisa Ackerman from TACA.
Holly Robinson-Pete from the Holly Rod Foundation.
Ariva Martin from the Special Needs Network.
Scott Badish from the Autism Society of America.
Alex Plank from Ron Planet and activist Jesse Saperstein.
And finally, Dr. Temple Grandin, you've been challenged!
Yeah, that was a very funny day, fun day. I mean, it was freezing, but yes. It was a very hot day, thankfully.
It was really, really hot. And we did it like on a moment's notice. Challenged us.
Yeah.
And we did it on a moment's notice. We walked out to the balcony at the old building.
I think it was Matt Asner.
It might have been.
As I recall.
And I didn't have makeup on. I don't think you had makeup on either.
Right.
And people are always shocked when they see me without makeup because I have rosacea. I look like I have a sunburn always. And people go, "Do you have a sunburn?" I'm like, "No, it's just me. I'm a ruddy person." And and then we were in the hot sun.
Yeah.
And then they dumped the cold water on us. And
boy, it was quite a difference.
Woo!
Yeah, that was fun. Remember when that took off?
I do.
That was such a good thing.
I do. I think one of the sad things about it is that a lot of people didn't send in money.
They didn't end up making ALS
as much money as, but they did. I think they made more money that year than they did any other
year. So.
It wasn't what everybody had hoped, but,
That family was delightful.
Weren't
the Sullivans,
they?
Yes. Sean
Weren't
and
they?
His dad.
The whole family,
his,
and we got
mother,
to meet the
his
mom, too.
His stepmother was here, and his, really
amazing.
Nice people. That just shows you, like, he was diagnosed with severe autism. He was really not really, really functional. And here he's realizing so many dreams for himself out there.
And said things that just, like, lighten you. That just are so...
I know.
We have this conversation all the time about how people will look at our kids and they will make a decision. And then sometimes we get pieces of paper that say, "Oh, your kid is this."
Which
and
I recently
is,
got.
Your
yeah.
kid is never what's on that piece
no.
of paper. Your kid
no.
is never what the person, your kid is your kid. It's
right.
not even what you think or what
right.
you want.
Right.
Your kid is your kid,
yeah.
and
your
they
kid is your kid.
Amaze us.
Yeah. Yeah.
If we allow them to, they amaze us.
They do.
And
Sean is living proof of that.
Absolutely.
Now, speaking of some kids, there was a story about a young man that we covered who was out running. This was in Syracuse,
New York.
A young runner with autism who was, first of all, what an amazing thing that he was out there running and doing this.
Doing
and he's
a marathon,
an avid
yeah.
runner.
Yep.
Yeah, doing a marathon. And he was accosted, essentially.
Yeah, he got off track of, somehow he ran off course, which is a problem, and that happens with people on the autism spectrum.
Right.
I love that for, a lot of the runs, have the chip thing. You guys have
yes.
the chip so that they can track.
Right.
And we need to have more runs that are like that, but for some reason this young runner got off the course and was running, had a number on his shirt
yeah.
and was running, and this... Yahoo, Martin McDonald. Sorry, Martin, I'm calling you a Yahoo.
A Yahoo. What's a Yahoo?
Well, it's a nice way of saying idjit,
okay.
as my grandmother would
All right.
say. An idjit decided that this youth who was running, who happens to be African-American,
so we can assume, we can make assumptions that there were assumptions.
So the Yahoo was in his car with his wife who had a purse, as you do when you're in a car, which is a moving armored thing,
right.
saw this young man running and felt that this young man was going to come and get his wife's purse out
right.
of his car.
Right. So he basically...
He got out and knocked the young man to the ground.
So it's nice to hear that there was a lot of media attention around the case, and what he was sentenced to was 3 years probation, 80 hours of community service, and a 5-year order of no contact with Chase Coleman, who was the young teen, the runner, who we are proud of him for being out there running, and for having a running career and doing this.
And
he should
was
be
afraid
applauded.
To run. Yes.
Who should be applauded and was afraid to run after. So we hope, first of all, that Chase is back out doing his running.
And there were a lot of people who offered to run with him, which we applaud that too. But we do want to say that originally when this happened, his mother asked for there to be charges pressed against the Yahoo.
Right.
And initially, the Rochester City Court judge, Caroline Morrison, declined to file an arrest warrant and asked the police to gather more information. And while we appreciate that she asked for more information to be gathered, then there was a bunch of media attention, and then suddenly there was an arrest
Interesting
warrant.
Interesting how that happens.
When we speak out as a group of people, sometimes we have the ability to help somebody to have something that should have happened to begin with happen.
Nothing like a public outcry.
Yeah.
Okay. Shannon, you brought this article to our attention, an interesting article in Scientific American about different tools that are now being used to help kids on the spectrum.
Yes. You know, we've done a lot of stuff, and we're going to continue to do a lot of stuff about robots here on the show, but it's really significant that our kids who are on the autism spectrum like robots. We've only got 1 minute, so we're going to keep this really short. Check it out in Scientific American.
Yeah, it talks about robots, brain scans, and apps.
Yes, all these things to be used for teaching socialization, and that robots are doing more and more of that. And you would think that it would be weird, but it's not. It's actually a very good thing for them, and it's reinforcing for them, and they learn faster.
All right, so that is the Let's Talk Autism all on Autism Live. Check under www.autism-live.com. We're pretty much out of time.
Yeah.
So tomorrow on Cooperia, we will have Paul Gilbert
on
the show.
Yeah, hopefully we'll have him on. And hopefully maybe we can utilize him because he sounded like he wanted to be more of a part of the show.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we can... He can help us out with because he lives in
Victoria,
which is the capital of BC.
Yes. And big shout out to my friend Peter Bourne as well.
Yeah. Hopefully he can help us out with a lot of issues. Maybe help us keep track of some of the issues to deal with disabilities in British Columbia.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
So check us out tomorrow on Co-op Radio. That is it for this edition on the Community Living Show on the CITR side. So we will have the interview next week. So stay tuned for that.
Okay.
See you all next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Your time. turn to